In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin this morning service in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, on this beautiful spring day, we come before your holy word, desiring to thank you for all the blessings of this life and this day. You have been so gracious unto us, and we do not know how to properly thank you with these clay tongues that we have. But we simply and humbly thank you this morning for all your blessings that you have given unto us. But above all the temporal things, dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your name for granting us faith to believe. We pray on behalf of those that are struggling this day with the trials of this temporal life. We pray that you would give this knowledge into their hearts that you know their needs. You know their struggles and trial, and you have promised to be with us all the way to the end. We pray on behalf of those that are this day wandering in the darkness of sin and unbelief. We pray that you would allow the light of your Spirit to shine brightly here in this dark world, so that man might notice that there is a place of forgiveness and peace that can be found here in your kingdom. And we ask this morning for a service blessing, that you would bless your word, that you would open our mouth to speak of that word that gives us hope of heaven. And we say this morning this wedding prayer on behalf of some two young believers that will be joined in marriage next Saturday. Bria Jankala and Chase Aho will be joined in marriage next Saturday at Bria's parents' home. And in their behalf we pray, God, thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant. Grant this couple one-mindedness and love, and make their home a Christian home. Amen. This morning, we will pause before God's holy word, reading from the gospel text that has been set aside for this Sunday. We will read from the gospel according to St. John from the 17th chapter. And in Jesus' name we will pause before these words from the 10th verse. Through the 17th verse. And in Jesus' name, the words are as follow. We will read from the 9th verse, starting with the 9th verse. The words of Jesus are as follow. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. The topic or the theme for this Sunday that has been attached to the text that we have read speaks unto us about being citizens of heaven here in this world, or citizens of God's kingdom as we travel here in this life. We have come here this morning and to hear the message of God and to hear of the work that Jesus has done for us. And this portion of God's word speaks unto us about a prayer that Jesus kept. And when Jesus prayed, he knew that God hears his prayers. But he says that I don't pray that so that God would hear. But he prays even in an audible voice so that others would believe. It would help others to believe in the work of Jesus and have faith in God. And so this portion of God's word was, as many of you know, was the last evening of the life of Jesus before his crucifixion. And so we can gather from this portion of God's word the great emphasis or the great care that Jesus has for you and I. He knew that the suffering and death that was before him. He knew the agony and the pain that was to beset him. But even in the midst of those things that he knew of, he turned to God in prayer for you and I. This day that we have woke up to this morning, we know is Mother's Day. And we briefly spoke about Mother's Day this morning at Sunday school. You children, maybe you're sitting there in the lap of your mother this morning. And your mother has carried you in her womb. And it wasn't always so easy for those 9 months that she carried you. But on the day that you were born, there was great joy there in your home. Or we could say maybe most of you were born there in the hospital. And your mother has endeavored to care for you all the days of your life. And you young believers here this morning, you also know that your parents have a mother. And it might be that the mother of your parents has since passed away from this life. But nonetheless, this morning, even the eldest one here, I'm sure has thought about their mother. Jesus also had a mother. We know her name was Mary. But we remember, as we even touched in Sunday school this morning, about that happening in the life of Jesus, when Jesus was speaking, as he always did, about the matters of the kingdom of God. And his mother and his brethren and maybe his sisters were even there. I think Jesus had four brothers that the Bible gives their names. And the Bible says that he also had sisters. And so this particular time that we touched on this morning, Jesus was there with the people of his day, and he was speaking about the kingdom of God, and the mother of Jesus and his brothers came there. But because there was such a group of people at this occasion that they couldn't get to Jesus, they had some issues or some topic to tell Jesus. I'm not certain the Bible doesn't elaborate on what that was that they wanted to tell Jesus. But we can all imagine Jesus was here this morning, and we know that he is here this morning, but we can't see him as the early New Testament believers. But I'm sure we would all have something to say, or maybe some question that we had. And I'm sure you that are struggling this day with maybe separation of a loved one, maybe your question would be in regards to something of that nature. Or maybe if you are one that has been struggling this morning with some difficult trial of health, you might have a question about that. Or maybe you're one believer, as I sometimes, wondering that, am I still believing correctly? So maybe your question would be of that nature to Jesus. But nonetheless, Jesus knows each one of us this morning. He knows those things that have been difficult in your life. And he has great compassion for each one of us. He knows your name. And so he wants to speak directly to you this morning, even as he speaks every Sunday directly to us. We can hear God's word, and we know the other children of God that are assembled in the hearing of God's word also here. But we cannot hear and believe for anyone else. We can only hear and believe for our own journey of faith. But at this particular event in the Bible, and I think it's from Matthew chapter 12, is the portion that we referred to this morning, although there are other portions of God's word that note of the same happening. The Bible says from that 46th verse of the 12th chapter of Matthew, it says in this way, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then said one unto him, one of those that was there in the hearing of that word that particular day, they came to Jesus, and Jesus and said that, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. So Jesus obviously knew that he had natural brothers. They were, I suppose, we would say they would be half-brothers, because Jesus father was the Holy Spirit. He didn't come from the same father, although he had an earthly father that cared for his needs. But they came from the same mother, so Jesus obviously knew his mother. And they wanted to speak to Jesus. And it says in this way that, but Jesus answered and said unto this man that told him that his brothers and mother were there. He says in this way, he asked them this question. He says, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Who are my sisters? You youngest students here, that's the questions that we visited about this morning. That who is your mother? I'm guessing you could all say that the mother is that one sitting next to you, or maybe your mother has gone to heaven. Or we know our mother, our natural mother, our earthly mother. But Jesus used this opportunity to speak about a more important matter than our earthly mothers. In fact, he held in such high regard the kingdom of God. That he used this opportunity to speak about the kingdom of God as his mother. How great love he had for the kingdom of God. When you think about the people in your life, I'm sure each and every one of us here this morning, when we think about our earthly mothers, it's with kindness that we think of them. We know we haven't always made their life so easy. Oftentimes those things that we have done as children have been difficult for our mothers to deal with. But so it is this morning when we think about our mothers. I'm sure it is with you if your mother is a believing mother. She's always wanted to preach unto you forgiveness for those wrongs that you have done there in the home. It brings great joy to the heart of a mother when their children want to believe their sins forgiven. And this is what Jesus was speaking about, the mother, the kingdom of God. The mother congregation cares for each one of us. And it brings great joy to the heart of the mother, the kingdom of God, when the children want to believe. When the children put their matters away in the name and blood of Jesus. On this particular day, Jesus stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. This is the mother of Jesus, the kingdom of God. This is our mother. This is a greater mother than even those natural mothers that we have. But it's a good example that Jesus gave when he compared the kingdom of God to his mother. Such great love he had for his mother. And so it is on this particular day when we pause to remember our mothers. And we should remember our mothers every day. And you children, when you say your prayers at night, I would encourage you that in those prayers you would remember your mother and your father. But Jesus knew who his father was, and he didn't use that. He knew his father, and he spoke to his father in this prayer that we have read this morning. But the mother is one of those matters that when sin has become foggy, sin has made the life of faith foggy, oftentimes we lose sight of who is my mother? Who is it that cares for me in my life of faith? Oftentimes we might have some understanding on some particular matter of life and faith. But maybe it is that understanding is not a correct understanding. How do we know, if we have some understanding, how do we know it's not a right understanding? because the mother will care for us. We put our trust in the mother. We don't put our trust in our own understanding, but we put the trust in the kingdom of God, the mother congregation. And so even as there was a wedding here last evening, where two young believers were joined together with God's holy word, Jesus was here last evening. Even as he was here, he was at that wedding in Cana, and Jesus' mother was also there at that wedding. And so it is that this wedding, where two believers are joined together as God's children, it is through that union that God wants to bless you with children. And sometimes God doesn't bless us with children in those marriages, but nonetheless, that marriage is yet blessed by God because it is God's work, and God joins together husband and wife with his word. And the Bible says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so it is, I want to even encourage you, dear mothers, this morning, in the midst of your difficulties and tiredness of your duties, to uplift your hearts to God. God wants to encourage you and strengthen your life of faith. It's not always so easy, but God knows it, and Jesus knows it. But even in that wedding where Jesus attended there in Cana, and the mother of Jesus spoke to Jesus, and he told Jesus that somebody had told Jesus that they ran out of wine for that particular occasion. And Jesus directed what to do there at that particular event, even as he directs us how to live here in this life. And the mother of Jesus told those people that Jesus had directed or given instruction to just do as he says. I'm sure the mother of Jesus had, many times Jesus had had to comfort her in her walk of faith and her duties as a mother. And so she understood that if she could just do as the Lord Jesus instructs us, that good things will happen from that. And so it is that we desire to believe in such a simple way. This particular portion of God's word, which we have paused before this morning, speaks about this prayer, as we've already referenced. Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. You are God's children when you believe. And Jesus says that they're not mine, but they're God's. But he also says, For they are thine, for thou hast given them me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. It brings great joy to the heart of the Heavenly Father to see his children desiring to live by faith, gathering the blood drops of the Lord Jesus. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Always in the kingdom of God, there's only one spirit, one uniting spirit of God. It wants to join us together as one before God. There's not differences in understanding, although we as people can sometimes have differences in understanding, but before God, there's always only one right and correct understanding. And that one correct, right understanding joins us together as God's children. As the Bible says, our text concludes with that the truth, how does it say it? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This was Jesus' prayer to God, and in your behalf and mine. that we would remember and remain in the truth of God's word. While I was yet with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I'm sure this portion of scriptures is oftentimes paused you to consider the what happens when a man desires to live in sin, even as that one of the disciples of Jesus, sin found a place in his heart and it began to rule his heart. And it caused him to do things that were not according to God's word. And in the end, this led him away from God into condemnation. But the Bible says that this Jesus has kept every one of us, and none of us will be lost if we believe. Only one lost was that son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, and of that I have small understanding. And Jesus continues, says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. For what reason, dear brothers and sisters, can you think of that Jesus was so hated? What did he do? He never sinned. He never did wrong. He always spoke correctly. He always spoke in the right way. But yet, the world hated him. So much power is there in sin, dear brothers and sisters. Let's not play with sin. This prayer goes on to say, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Jesus knows that we have a place here in this life, in this world. And he doesn't pray that God would take us out of this world, but that we would be protected from evil. There's work to do here in this life, in this kingdom, in this world. You've been asked by God to do this work, to speak of the reason for the hope of heaven, that your sins are forgiven. That gives us hope to believe. It gives us hope of heaven. And so that is the work that you have been asked to do. Your first work is that you believe personally. We can't help somebody to believe if we don't first believe ourselves. It's always the first place of watching is in my own life of faith. Are my matters right and correct before God, before His Spirit, before the kingdom of God? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The theme for our summer services this summer is, it also speaks to us about the truth. And I can't remember now from memory what that verse, how it reads, but truth is a very important matter for us here in God's kingdom. Even as all the other topics are important matters for God's children. We cannot take certain matters and disregard them, but we must accept all the matters of God in order to remain here believing in the correct way. If we overemphasize some matter, then maybe it is that we're forgetting another matter. But so it is that all matters here in God's kingdom are worked together. Even as the Apostle Paul speaks about the body, how it so perfectly works together. And if you start to remove your hands, how does that body work? We can't start to take parts of faith and remove them. The body won't work very well. But we don't have the authority for one. And if we do, as the Bible says, that if we take away from God's word, God will also take away our name out of the book of life in heaven. That's how important it is, these holy scriptures. And how perfectly they join together through God's Spirit. When I read God's Word and I try to support some carnal thought that I might have, then it seems that the other portions of God's Word no longer fit together. But if I can read God's Word and see how that applies to God's kingdom and how that works in God's kingdom, everything fits so well. And so Jesus says that, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And he continues on in this same chapter. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. There's only one way we can be acceptable to God and sanctified before God, and that is through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that third portion of the Godhead. There's the Father that has created us and the Son that has redeemed us. But then there's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us and makes us acceptable to God. It's not from our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own strength, that we are acceptable to God. Not even an outwardly perfect life is going to make you acceptable to God. It's only by faith in the merit work of the Lord Jesus. And that faith is born of God's Spirit. Even as the Nicodemus was instructed when he came to Jesus, that unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so that is our most important part that we have here in this life as believers, that we would remain in the fellowship of God's Spirit and in the kingdom of God. And if God remains in us through His Spirit, at the end, even as we sang in memory of the dear sister that is, the dear mother that brought children here into this world, she's now a saint there in heaven. And that is how it is for many of you that have believing mothers that have reached the destination there in heaven. Believing grandmothers, how did they reach the destination, dear brothers and sisters? By gathering strength through the gospel. They lived of the gospel. That is how God strengthens our faith. So this evening or this morning, dear brothers and sisters, on this day when you go to be with your mothers and remember your mothers, be encouraged by the gospel. That source of strength that gives us all power to believe. Believe this morning, dear brothers and sisters. Uplift your hearts to God and believe the message of heaven. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And that is the message that my heart desires to hear this morning also, that could I believe, will you forgive me for my sins and doubts this morning? We're in a good place when we can believe so simply as children. And in fact, Jesus, when he spoke during his day, and he spoke about children and how their faith was how it is that we should all endeavor. He took a child and he brought it into his arms and says, this is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They don't question everything. They just accept and believe. So it is that we would have that desire, that we would also want to believe in that simple way. So be encouraged. The only way we can believe so simply is through the power of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for all those that believe. So be encouraged this morning, dear brothers and sisters. No better, no worse, but as children of God endeavoring on the way to heaven, you have permission to believe. Sins forgiven in Jesus' name and in holy atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this morning by joining our hearts together in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.